Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Lots of places to find us. SteveJonesShow.com. Like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at SteveJonesPSU. And once our live shows are finished, you can always check out the Steve Jones Show podcast, not only at SteveJonesShow.com, but also available on Google Play and the Apple Podcast app. If you do listen to us on Apple with the podcast, do not hesitate to leave us a review. And of course, the email is stevejones@wkok.com, stevejones@wkok.com. Hope you had a terrific weekend. Beautiful day, perfect summer afternoon here in the central Susquehanna Valley. Right smack dab in the middle of summer, of course, you got baseball and the Home Run Derby tonight, All-Star Game tomorrow. Actually, baseball on a break till Friday. Second half of the regular season will start on Friday. Of course, that time we'll have more Phillies baseball here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Speaking of the Phillies first round draft pick in the 2017 draft is Adam Haseley. Spent a short time with the Gulf Coast Phillies, and now for the past week or two, he has been in Williamsport, the Williamsport Crosscutters. Adam Haseley will join us this afternoon live at 4:06 here on WKOK. Looking forward to that very much. Steve's had a chance to see Adam in action more than once over the past week or so and has been very impressed so far with what he sees. So looking forward to getting into Adam's brain and have him share with us his journey, leaving college and now starting his professional career. And actually hit his first home run as a pro baseball player for the Crosscutters on Friday night at Bowman Field. So Adam will be joining us at 4:06. We'll be talking more Crosscutters baseball tomorrow. The Crosscutters beat writer for the Williamsport Sun-Gazette, Mitch Rupert. He'll be joining us tomorrow afternoon at 4:06.
Oh, we got a lot going on.
We do, which is always great. Which is always a great thing.
Got Adam Rittenberg today, Matt Leon today, Adam Haseley today. Wednesday, we've got Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. I mean, the suit's back at work today, right?
He is.
I wanted to put Knopp on it at a point where he'd be at work and would depress the daylights out of him. And then John Bacon before the week's out.
Love it.
So we got a lot going on.
No all-star break here. No break.
No.
No.
No all-star break here. None. No.
Yours will be in 2 weeks.
Oh, I'll be gone. I mean, it's like I'll be at a non-extradition spot. No,
and while you're enjoying that in 2 weeks, we will have a best of. That is the week of July 24th. We will be going into the archives from when I came on board here on the show a little over a year ago. We're going to pull out some great interviews and replay them. We're going to replay Peter King. We had a chance to talk to Peter before the Super Bowl. We'll replay that. And I believe we're also going to replay. I was thinking we would replay your great interview you did a year ago, April, with Mike the Mailman. You're going to have to replay that. You had a chance to talk to him on his final day of work for the Postal Service there on campus.
Yeah, when he retired. Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah. It's really a disappointment to Lawrence. In the end,
Really?
That we actually have any best of anything?
Those are two words we very rarely use on the show. We just keep, trudging, plugging forward.
He's disappointed. Because he thought he was the only one that had the best of anything. Now, he probably feels that our best of are faux best ofs. All right. Now, that's a legitimate argument.
Yeah. Best of's an argument. That's best of's an argument. That's part of his everyday deal around here. Yeah.
All the guy wants to do is fight. No, I'm just But that's what we have coming up. I'm watching this weekend. And someone does a highlight package. Aaron Judge hit his 30th home run, which surpassed Joe DiMaggio's Yankee rookie record from 1936. And not only did Judge do it, he did it in half a season, and it was another titanic Aaron Judge blast that damaged things. I am all for the lauding of individual accomplishments. I'm all for it. I think it's great. It's part of what makes the games exciting to get star power like that and so forth. Guess what they didn't say in the report? They didn't tell you Milwaukee won the game. Isn't that still the most important part of it? Like, who won the game? If you were a Pirate fan, wouldn't you want to know whether Milwaukee won or lost? If you're a Red Sox fan, don't you want to know whether the Yankees won or lost? They're going on and on and on and on, and justifiably. Of course they should be going on and on on what he's doing. What he's doing is an incredible feat. He's having a phenomenal season. When he comes to the plate, I stop what I'm doing and say, hey, what's he doing? And I'll watch this guy hit. But at some point, isn't the winning and the losing of the game in the end the most important part? Isn't that why you're playing? The next thing I saw was Lonzo Ball. Now, I realize, first of all, let's give ESPN credit. The Summer League, them broadcasting the Summer League is a brilliant move.
It was either late night, Friday night, or Saturday night. They had three different games going on at the same time, and I found myself flipping around all three. I've never done that before, watching three at one time.
And what happens is that these are all, some of the young stars. I mean, now Fultz got hurt, but Fultz had been playing, Ball's playing, Tatum's playing. It's a chance to see them now make the transition. And the games are meaningless and so forth, but Ball did not have a great first outing. Ball this, Ball that. Ball is not a good on-the-ball defender. Okay? Playing on-the-ball defense is something that the league forces you to do until you're allowed to go back on offense again. All right? And he's also not the greatest outside shooter on the planet, but he's an incredible passer. Great court vision. He does make people better around him. So he didn't have a great game. Now the second game, right? Triple-double. Oh, my God. Yeah, okay, look at the strides. Triple-double, triple-double, triple-double. Oh. You know what they failed to mention in that? The Lakers lost that one, too. It doesn't matter if you're getting triple-doubles. Your team's not winning. It's like a footnote that Tatum got 30 points and his team won. Okay. Now, I realize it's like exhibition baseball. The winning and losing is meaningless. But at some point, don't you have to mention whether they won or lost the game? If you had that much of an impact on the game, they must have won by 20, right? Oh, you mean they lost? Really? Really? But the entire story is they lost. Oh. What's going to happen next year is this. We are going to be inundated with Lonzo Ball highlights, pro and con. all season. And it's going to get to the point where fans are going to then look in the standings and say, you know, geez, who are the Lakers going to play in the first round of the playoffs? Where are they? 5, 6? And you're going to realize they're 12 games out of a playoff spot. You're like, wait a minute, why am I seeing all these highlights for a team that's not even close to making the playoffs? And that's a legitimate question to ask. Why are you force-feeding highlights down my throat of a team that is 12 games out of a playoff spot? Why? You know, other people are doing things well, too, you know. It's interesting that here we are in 2017. Something I thought would change over the years hasn't changed as much as I thought it would. And I was not right about this. I thought as sports moved into the 21st century, and with cable, regional sports networks, and so forth, that the idea that you had to be in New York or Los Angeles to be a star, and look, let's face it, LeBron James has bucked that trend. Michael Jordan was in Chicago. But in order to be the star of stars, you'd have to be, or to get promoted, you'd have to be in New York or Los Angeles. And New York and Los Angeles still has, for whatever reason, some hold on ESPN. They still do. I mean, we hear about the Clippers, and we hear about the Lakers all the time. We hear about the Knicks all the time. I mean, the Lakers and the Knicks are really bad basketball teams, and we hear about them all the time. And that hasn't changed the way I thought it would. I just thought by being like a national network, you'd latch on to what's hot, or, for example, if something's not going right for an individual or organization, you'd hear about that too, because that's a story in its own right, and I understand that. Just not a constant barrage of it. I'll give you an example this week. My guess is you'll watch this, Sean. I know I will. The 30 for 30 on Mike and the Mad Dog?
I already have the DVR set. Absolutely.
But let me ask you, how many times you ever heard Mike and the Mad Dog on the radio?
I would try to listen to them whenever I could, you know, heading home from work, late afternoon, early evening.
I listened to them with family in New England. My parents lived in Connecticut. And so 3-4 times a year I'd travel back, and those 3 or 4 times a year I'd listen to Mike and the Mad Dog. It's 3 or 4 times a year. And an interesting story about Mary Tyler Moore, who had passed away within the past year. She went up to either Mike Francesa or Christopher Russo, one of the two. I think it was Francesa. And they'd met, and they're like, oh, my goodness, Mary Tyler Moore. She says, oh, yeah, I listen to you guys all the time. She said, they're like, what? She says, no, my husband loves your show, so every time we drive to Connecticut to our house, it's awesome. And I became a fan. But again, if you live south of Baltimore, west of Pittsburgh, how often have you heard them? I mean, think about that, Sean. If you live south of Baltimore or west of Pittsburgh, how many of you ever have heard Mike and the Mad Dog do a show?
Of course, during a long stretch of their popularity, we're talking, you know, pre-digital, pre-podcast, pre-app, so you literally would have to listen to them with your radio.
Right. You'd have to listen on the radio. I know at one point they were on Yes Network, but I think Yes really started picking that show up more when Mike had it himself. They did a lot of groundbreaking stuff for example, being at the Super Bowl before there was Radio Row, things like that, doing so well in the ratings. Now, do they deserve a 30 for 30? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's interesting that if you live south of Baltimore or west of Pittsburgh, you've never heard the show. The first time you'll ever hear the show was on the 30 for 30. Now, it doesn't mean they're not big names in the industry. Obviously, they're huge names in the industry. Their accomplishments are well documented. But again, back to that New York-centric idea, because it's New York sports talk radio. I mean, what did they talk about on the show? On the show, they talk about the Mets, the Yankees, the Knicks, the Giants, the Jets. Right? They don't talk about the Bulls, the Cavs. They don't talk about the, you know, if the Red Sox play the Yankees, they'll talk about them. They don't talk about the Red Sox, the Phillies, the Pirates, the Cubs. They don't talk about that. Their entire show was New York, New York, New York, New York, New York. They don't talk about the St. Louis Cardinals. They don't talk about the Dallas Cowboys. They don't talk about the Rams. Okay? They don't talk about the 49ers. None of that stuff. They talk about, because their audience is, they're talking about what their audience is. They talk about the Yankees, the Mets, the Giants, the Jets, the Knicks. That's the show. Now, the 30 for 30 will be interesting because, you know, again, they went 18, 19 years. They broke apart. Now, they're, you know, they're talking about possibility of maybe doing a once-a-week reunion thing. You know, if they can find the proper platform, which my guess would be Mad Dog Sports Radio and Sirius. And then some special shows like Here We Are, or, you know, we're at the Super Bowl, something, you know, or we're at the Final Four, whatever. But they're a New York-centric show. They don't talk about the topics we talk about on this show. Nor should they. They're in New York. They shouldn't be talking about what we're talking about. I shouldn't be talking. They should not be sitting there saying, hey, let's talk about the Phillies, let's talk about the Pirates, and let's talk about Penn State football. Right? That show would fail in New York. Okay? Just like if they did the show here and they're talking about the Mets, the Giants, the Jets, it's not going to do well here either. Now, as pioneers and really taking sports talk radio to the next level, yeah, they do deserve that. But it's amazing because it's New York, it's WFAN, it's new, and ESPN is locked into that New York-centric idea. That's why they talk about the Knicks all the time. The Knicks are a bad basketball organization. The only thing about the Knicks that's entertaining is that they're bad. They are not achievers. I mean, do you really care where Melo goes next? Show of hands. Anybody? Give you one more chance. Show of hands. Who cares where Melo goes? No? Didn't think so. Matt Leon, next half hour. Adam Haseley at 4:06. Adam Rittenberg, 4:35. That's what we want to do in our show today. Which, if I was doing this show in New York, would fail. Because, you know, I'm going to be talking with Adam Rittenberg about conference expansion in 2023. I'm going to be talking with Matt Leon about what's going on with the Sixers and the Phillies. We're going to talk about Adam Haseley being the first overall pick, or the eighth overall pick in the draft and the first by the Phillies this year, who's off to an awesome start at Williamsport. That show in New York would fall flat on its face. Just like today's conversation would be about, hey, let's talk about the Knicks. I mean, you know, you guys would be like, all right, what else is going on today? You'd find something else. It's every show needs to fit whatever region it's in. But it'll be interesting. I mean, I'll watch it because I've listened to it over the years. Two interesting personalities, two interesting opinions of one another, kind of like the soap opera-ish feeling to it as to how it played out over the years. I mean, people will actually hear more of Mike and the Mad Dog in that, 2 hours, whatever it is, than most of the country had ever heard in their life. The vast majority of the country has never heard them do a show. Never. Have never heard them do a show. You're living in Ohio. How many times have you heard Mike and the Mad Dog? California. Anybody in California? Mike and the Mad Dog. Quick show. Have you ever heard them? I mean, you've heard of them. Have you ever heard them do a show? Denver. No? Again, it's that New York-centric thing that I thought in 2017 would start to disappear. I thought by now it would have almost completely disappeared, where a lot of parts around the country would be equal in terms of covering sports. Not so. We'll come back. Bottom of the hour. News next on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Four city blocks of new Ford trucks. Over 40,000 trucks sold. SMC is where you want to be. Sunbury Motors Ford has over 100 10 new Ford trucks. And during July, they'll include a complimentary accessory package with the purchase of any new F-150. Through July 31st, receive a tonneau cover, molded splash guards, and window deflectors at no additional charge. SMC is where you want to be, because they have the largest selection of new Ford trucks in all of central Pennsylvania.
And that means the biggest savings.
Take up to $13,500 off on new F-150s. And SMC has them starting as low as $23,919. Save up to $7,000 on 2017 Ford Escapes. And they're slashed as low as $19,380. Explorers, Edges, and Expeditions have discounts up to $11,000. SMC is where you want to be in July for this mega summer spectacular sale and the complimentary F-150 accessory package. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
F-150 accessory package valued at $699. Excludes prior sales and ordered units.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have taken great care of their customers for decades, finding them the right insurance. And they carry all levels of insurance. The right insurance at the right price so that their customers are covered. And by the way, if something happens, they'll jump on it as if it happened to them. They are partnered with you as your insurance broker. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Quick slice of news. Max Scherzer of the Washington Nationals will start for the National League tomorrow night. Chris Sale of the Boston Red Sox will start for the American League. I mean, the three dominant pitchers in the game right now are Scherzer, Kershaw, and Sale. Only two of the three could start, and Kershaw pitched yesterday. Time now for this date in sports history. 1951, Sugar Ray Robinson was beaten for only the second time in 133 fights as Randy Turpin took the middleweight crown. 1984, Doc Gooden of the Mets became the youngest player to appear in the All-Star game as a pitcher. 19 years, 7 months, and 24 days. 1999, the United States women's soccer team beat China to win the 1999 World Cup. And that is this day in sports history. All right, let's turn our attention now to Philadelphia. Matt Leon joins us. First of all, Matt, I must commend you, my friend. I've been told by sources that in your fantasy football draft, you have taken an interesting and potentially winning strategy.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the last pick of the first round in this league with my brethren from and former co-workers in State College. We get to pick where we pick, as in reverse order. We get the draft. The worst team gets to pick where it picks in the first round. And I decided to take the last pick in the first round because it's a snake draft, so then I get 12 and 13. And it takes some of the pressure off, and I think you get more depth that way. At least that's how I found it in the past.
So you could have picked fourth.
Yes.
But instead you chose the last pick in a 12-person draft. which gives you 13, but it also means that it's 3 hours later you get to pick again.
Well, that's another thing, too. It makes it easier when you're not there, is you bang out two picks at once, and then you
go to the
wait for the phone to ring. Exactly, wait for the phone to ring in 40 minutes. So,
I've got to ask you about Markelle Fultz. I mean, I know it's a high ankle sprain, but what do Sixer fans think when they hear that the first pick gets hurt in the summer league?
It is unbelievable. I woke up Sunday morning and looked at my phone, and the first thing you see is the alert that Markelle Fultz, and I'm like, you're kidding, right? That can't. This is a joke. It's unbelievable. They've actually upgraded, or I guess it's downgraded. It's not as bad as they may have thought, and it doesn't sound like it's even a high ankle sprain. It's just a good old-fashioned garden variety ankle sprain. And they're saying a week or two he should be back with basketball, with normal basketball activities. He's done in summer league, no surprise there. But at first it was a full five-alarm emergency, not just because of the fact that the number one overall pick in the draft got injured, but, you know, after all of the, with Embiid, after Simmons last year, it's almost the odds of it happening for a third straight year of the guy getting hurt. I mean, that's almost impossible, but there we were. And as it turned out, it looked like the same type, not that there was a video of Simmons getting hurt, but from all descriptions, when Simmons got hurt at the end of training camp last year, he stepped on an opponent's foot as he was making a move. It's exactly what Fultz did, and it was depressing there for a while, but looks like they dodged a bullet, and Markelle Fultz will be okay come the season.
When you saw him, what'd you think of him? I mean, it's only limited, but what'd you think of him?
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, summer league's even worse trying to judge things than spring training baseball. But you saw what makes him special. You saw the variety of offensive moves. You saw a guy that I think obviously sees the floor well, a guy that can shoot, and the guy that can get to the basket. And it's not just him individually. You combine him with a Simmons, with an Embiid. And a J.J. Redick. I am really, really interested to see what this looks like on the floor. Because on paper, you seem to have a bunch of guys that complement each other well. And I think Markelle Fultz was about what you thought he was going to be coming out of the draft in summer league. A lot to get excited about.
And Ben Simmons has said straight out, he said, look, I'm the starting point guard. And if you're the Sixers and you're a Sixers fan, you want to see that kind of statement, don't you?
No, absolutely, and I don't think there's any doubt. And Fultz can play off the ball, but there's nothing wrong with having a guy that has point guard ability at the two as well. The possibility for how good the floor spacing on this team could be and the ball movement are really, really exciting. And you would imagine that J.J. Redick is going to get open look after open look after open look.
All right. We're at the All-Star break. I thought by the All-Star break, like 3 weeks, I'm going to go back to spring training. I thought once we got to maybe 3 weeks before the All-Star break, we'd start to see some things with the Phillies starting to, quote, round into a little bit of an upward direction. It hasn't happened. Why?
They're not good enough. It's been worst case scenario, not just, and I think I've said this to you before, not in the overarching idea that they have the worst record in baseball and such, but if you go to like individual parts of the team, it's worst case scenario as far as what could have happened. They've played a little bit better as of late, but the bottom line is they don't score enough. And the bullpen is shaky. Now, their one all-star is a reliever, Pat Neshek, and he's been really good. But past him, Joaquin Benoit, Hector Neris, you kind of give them the ball and close your eyes and hope for the best. The stuff's there. But they have really, really struggled, especially Neris, who they, desperately want to be the closer. And he just does not seem comfortable in the ninth inning. The splitter that was so dominant last year, he seems to have lost confidence in it and makes him more of a one-pitch pitcher. But I think the main overarching problem is the offense is just not consistent enough. You look 1 through 8, they've got so many holes. You know, the only two guys that I look at that you feel are above replacement level are Aaron Altherr and Freddie Galvis right now. and Galvis because he's a shortstop and what he gives you defensively. Altair, I think, is a star in the making. I really do. I think they've got something special with him. Maybe not a superstar, but I think a top-level corner outfielder who maybe eventually turns into the regular center fielder. Odubel Herrera has been a great disappointment, inconsistent, not nearly as patient as he was before, hitting in the mid-250s, and he's had to kind of improve to get that high. Tommy Joseph's been pretty good. To be fair to Tommy Joseph, he's hit some key home runs, still hitting 250, 260. But I think people look at Tommy Joseph with more of an eye that he's blocking one of the Phil's best prospects in Reese Hoskins, who was having a phenomenal year at AAA. But Tommy Joseph's been okay. I'd probably put him on the next tier by himself after Altair and Galvis. And then past that, catching has really been a black hole offensively. Mikel Franco has been a huge disappointment at third base offensively. Yes, he's got some home runs and he's got some power numbers, but you watch him day in and day out, he throws so many at-bats away with an undisciplined approach at the plate. Second base, Cesar Hernandez was having a nice year before he got hurt, and now they get virtually nothing at second base. The Ty Kelly Andres Blanco platoon is about as effective at the plate as you and I would be. They tried Michael Saunders as one of the outfielders. That didn't work out. They released him, so they promoted Nick Williams from AAA. And I think the early returns have been pretty good on him. Hit his first major league home run yesterday, so there's hope there, but not nearly enough of a sample size at the major league level to decide. But the offense has just been terrible for the most part. They don't do anything well offensively that you can kind of hang your hat on. Don't run the bases well at all. They hit 6 home runs yesterday, but for the most part, they haven't been a team that hits with power. They don't go first to third a lot. They don't steal a lot of bases. They don't walk a ton, so it's tough to put together big innings. The starting pitching started out really well, really went into a funk for a couple of months. And the last month or so has gotten back to what I think everybody thought it would be, where pretty much every night you're getting a quality starting pitching effort that's going to keep you in the game and give you a chance to win. Jared Eichhoff got his first win yesterday. Aaron Nola has been really good as of late and maybe turning a corner towards ace status. And then they've gotten, youngsters like Nick Pivetta and Ben Lively have looked really good and really given you signs to be encouraged for the future. Jeremy Hellickson's been up and down. I don't think Jeremy Hellickson's here much longer. I would be stunned if he's still a Philly on August 1st. I would expect him to be traded. But with Eichhoff back, the rotation has been solid. And if they can go into the second half of the season, if they could move the offense up a couple of ticks and continue to get the starting pitching they've gotten, they should be a much improved team over the second half. But that's not hard to do. That's how bad they were in the first half.
Meanwhile, two guys for the Phillies that were in the futures game, at least on the roster, Scott Kingery and Reese Hoskins. How close are they with the two of them moving up?
I think Hoskins could be here tomorrow if they wanted him to be. That would require trading Tommy Joseph, but I've talked to guys that broadcast minor league games. I've been down in the minors watching some of the games. Hoskins is ready. Everybody almost agrees that he's ready. It's just a matter of finding a spot for him, because both he and Tommy Joseph are guys that can only play first base. There's no extra position to move him to or experimenting. So if you're going to bring Hoskins up, I would imagine that would probably mean a trade of Tommy Joseph, but there's been no action on that front. I don't think they're going to bring Kingery up this year. As
right.
good as he has been and as phenomenal as he's been at Double and Triple-A, this comes down to kind of inside baseball roster semantics. They don't have to protect him in the Rule 5 this year because this is only his second full season. So if they don't bring him up, that's a coveted 40-man roster spot in the offseason
right.
That they can save, and then you would fully expect – I fully expect Scott Kingery to be the starting second baseman opening day 2018. But if they don't bring him up, they don't have to spend a spot on him on the 40-man roster. So I think that would work against him as far as him coming up this year.
Would they have to wait, though, like the Pirates did with Polanco, like the Cubs did with Chris Bryant? Would they have to wait a little period of time before they actually play him next year?
I don't know exactly how that would work. I haven't heard anything about that. As far as when people talk about it, they target opening day.
Okay, because I'm talking about if you under certain circumstances, and it's only certain circumstances, obviously, if you wait, I don't know, 9, 10, 12 games, then you play them, free agency doesn't kick in for them for an extra year.
Oh, yeah, that's a possibility, but I haven't heard that breached or talked about on any front right now.
right now, I guess what at Citizens Bank Park, they tell me they haven't taken down the Phillies flag and put up a white flag, have they?
Yeah, they're just trying to get through the eighth inning right now.
Yeah, figured as much. And for those who don't realize, Kingery this year, between Redding and Lehigh Valley, hit 22 home runs and driven in 52.
Yeah,
he's hitting 312.
And he's a guy, I talked to him, I had a pretty lengthy sit-down with him when he was still at Reading about a month and a half ago, and I asked him, are you a power, you consider yourself a power hitter?
Nope.
And this was probably when he was at home runs, like 11 or 12, and he said, absolutely not. And he went into a pretty long answer about how Reading's a smaller stadium, and you can fall in love with your swing here and stuff, but he was really guarding against it. But it hasn't stopped, you know, and people that wanted to just dismiss this, well, Reading's a bandbox. His home road splits in Double A were about even, and he's continued to hit the ball out of the ballpark at Triple A. So maybe it's just his game, his swing developing.
Yeah, he's got 4 home runs in 12 games at Lehigh Valley. I mean, that's...
And there's been no doubt about it. There's not a lot of paint scrapers. I mean, he's really locked in right now at the plate.
Yeah, he is. And then there's another guy down the road. I'm going to talk to him later today, Adam Haseley. That is, you know, he's a long way to go to get there, but boy, he sure has tools. I mean, he really does.
And he could move quickly, I think.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I saw Mickey Moniak, the number one pick last year, the number one overall pick for the Phillies and the Major League Baseball last year. I saw him in a game this year in Lakewood, and he's incredibly smooth in center field. You can just tell, just a natural baseball player. Runs the ball, runs the base as well, had a couple of knocks that game. They've got talent in their system. They've got another kid. I don't know if you saw him last year when he was, I think he was in Williamsport, named Derek Hall.
Yes.
Who hits monster home runs, has from like May 1st when I did the story on him last week. At one point he had the most runs batted in minor league baseball since May 1st. And he's a guy that's, I mean, Lakewood, you know, you're still a long way to go on the organizational ladder, but that's another kid to keep an eye on. They've got a lot of talent, just a matter of getting it to the finish line.
Yeah, here's a guy that you go back with him. He's a 29th round pick. I mean, it's sometimes you get far down the index, it just takes a while for you to get there. Always a pleasure, my friend. Brilliant draft strategy, by the way.
We'll see. We'll see. When I end up with 2 quarterbacks, then we'll talk about it again.
Thanks, Matt.
Take care.
Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia. The aforementioned Adam Haseley in the next half hour. Adam Rittenberg, final half hour as we continue on today's show, brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
He is the Phillies' first-round pick this year, 8th overall. Adam Haseley of the Williamsport Crosscutters will join us in the next half hour. We'll talk to him about early returns and also how he got to this point. You know, what was it and who told him, hey, look, concentrate on being an outfielder, not being a pitcher. I mean, you know, we'll get into things like that with Haseley in the next half hour. He is an outstanding prospect. And as an outstanding prospect that I've had a chance now to see a few times, he's living up to it. He can flat-out play. It's an off day for the entire league today. And Haseley, I think, didn't Haseley hit his first home run yesterday?
Did on Friday night.
Friday night. Mm-hmm. Friday is his first home run. Yeah, good for him. But he didn't start here. As usual, they sent him down And then after, as soon as they blew that league up, he's like, okay, let's kind of move him on. I think he's good enough to play at the next level. That was a very quick. But, I mean, here he is. He's 21 years of age. He's out of Virginia. He's up to a 440 start at the plate. Pretty good. Team USA guy, First Academy guy. I mean, here's a guy who at one point was named to the National Pitcher of the Year watch list. He's not pitching. All right, we'll talk to Adam next half hour. Final half hour, Adam Rittenberg, Tony Knopp on Wednesday, John Bacon later in the week.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.